Emerging from the line with a hunk of bread, butter, and honey, I saw a small woman just in the act of taking a seat at an otherwise vacant table. I walked over quickly and took the seat across from her. The table was between us, so there was no awkwardness as to whether we should hug, kiss, or shake hands. She knew I was there, but remained huddled over her plate for a long moment, staring at her food and, I thought, gathering her strength before she raised her eyes and gazed into mine. "Is this seat taken?" asked an approaching Frau in a complicated bolt, giving me the sort of ingratiating look I'd learned to associate with those who wanted to suck up to Adharians. "Bugger off," I said. He did. "I sent you a couple of letters," I said. "Don't know if you got them." "Osa handed one to me," she said. "I didn't open it until after what happened with Orlo." "Why not?" I asked, trying to make my voice gentle. "I know about Jesri." The big eyes closed in pain. "No," in exasperation, and she shook her head.
"Forget about that. It's just that too much else has been going on. I've not wanted to get distracted."
She leaned back against her folding chair, heaved a sigh.
"After the visitation of Orathena, I thought maybe I had better open up. Zoom out, as the extras say. I read your letter. I think..."
Her brow folded.
"I don't know what I think. It's like I've had three different lifetimes. Before Voko, between Voko and Orlo's death, and since then. And your letter, which was a respectable piece of work, don't get me wrong, was written to an Ayla two lifetimes ago."
"I think that we could all tell similar stories," I pointed out.
She shrugged, nodded, started to eat.
"Well," I tried, "tell me about your current life then."
She looked at me, a little too long for comfort.
"Leo told me that you spoke."
"Yes."
She finally broke eye contact, let her gaze wander over the breakfast tables, slowly filling up with weary fraws and sewers and out over the lawns and towers of Tredegar.
"They brought me here to organize people. So that's what I've been doing."
"But not in the way they wanted."
She shook her head quickly.
"It's more complicated than that, Erasmus."
It killed me to hear her speak my name.
"Turns out that once you get an organization started, it takes on a life, lives by a logic of its own. I suppose if I'd ever done this before, I'd have known it would be that way, would have planned for it."
"Well, don't beat yourself up."
"I'm not beating myself up. That's you putting emotions on me, like clothes on a doll."
The old feeling, a curious mix of irritation, love, and desire to feel more of it, came over me.
"See, they knew from the start that the Convox was vulnerable, an obvious target, if the Pact opened hostilities."
"The Pact?"
"We call it Pact, P-A-Q-D, now for Pangae Antarct Quaterdiasp, less anthropomorphic than geometers."
"But they are anthropomorphic," I was tempted to say, but I stifled it.
"I know,"
she said, eyeing me.
"They are anthropomorphic. Never mind. We call them the Pact."
"Well, I had been wondering," I said. "Seems risky to put all the smart people in one square mile."
"Yeah, but what they have drilled into me over and over is that it's all about risk. The question is, what are the benefits that might be had in exchange for a given risk?